Exodus chapter 18. And our text for this morning is the verse 8. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. Family reunions can be very happy and emotional affairs. That was certainly very evident when Joseph revealed himself unto his brethren and later on to his father. We read there in Genesis 45 about that family reunion. In Genesis 45, we read in the opening verses, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. If you go down then to the verse 14 of the chapter, and he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. And then you go down, and we find that the Joseph then was reunited with his father. And again, it was also an emotional affair. They did weep upon one another's shoulder. And we read in the verse 28, and Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." And he came, and we read in the verse 28 of the next chapter, and he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen and present himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive." Family reunions. And Joseph being again reunited with his brethren and with his father. A similar incident took place when, you recall, the prodigal son returned home from the far country. You recall how, it's recorded there in Luke 15 and verses 20 and 24, how the father had been watching for his son, and he saw him a great way off and ran to meet him and fell on his neck and kissed him. Another great family reunion. Great happiness was experienced by father and son. Great happiness was experienced between Joseph and his brethren and his father. Another family reunion is recorded for us here in the verses that we have read this morning. You look there in verse 2. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back. Verse 7. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him, And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. It's a family reunion. And again, it was one of those emotional reunions. Moses had not seen his wife, Zipporah, for some considerable time, as well as his two sons. Not since the time that Moses went on to Egypt to be used of God to defeat Pharaoh and to lead Israel over the Red Sea. He hadn't seen Zipporah, his wife, or his sons since then. He had sent them back. He was going on to do the work of the Lord. But now Jethro brings Zipporah and the two children back to Moses for a family reunion. The events leading up to and following this reunion are very interesting and very instructive. I want us first of all this morning to consider Moses and the coming of Jethro. Notice just when this family reunion took place. Again, look at the first verse then. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and they came to meet with Moses. It was just then. So here we have, regarding this family reunion, here we have the promptings. What was it that prompted Jethro to go and meet with Moses and to bring Zipporah and Moses' two sons with him? What was it that prompted that family reunion? We're told what prompted Jethro to come to Moses. It was what he had heard. That's what we're told. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard all that God had done for Moses, that's what prompted him to come and meet with Moses. Regarding this prompting, we see first of all the attraction. It wasn't so much that Jethro wanted to bring Zipporah back to Moses that prompted him, although that had a part in this family reunion. But that wasn't the main reason why he came and met with Moses. What attracted Jethro was what he had heard about the Lord and his workings through Moses. And how encouraging it is when people come to us wanting to know more about the Lord and his work. That's what Jethro wanted to do. He wanted to go to Moses. He had heard about what the Lord had done for him and through him. And obviously he went to Moses to find out more about what the Lord had done. And he brought with him Zipporah and Moses' two children. But it was what he had heard about God, what God had done for Moses, that was the main reason why Jethro went to meet with Moses. He wanted to know more about the Lord. He wanted to know more about what the Lord had done for and through Moses. Cornelius was such an individual. Cornelius prayed that someone would come to him and to his household and tell them more about the Lord. It's always encouraging when people want to know more about the Lord. And Cornelius prayed that the Lord would send somebody, and Peter was the man who was sent. And when Peter arrived at the house, Acts 10, verse 33, when Peter arrived at the house, there was Cornelius, and he told Peter, we're all here. We want to hear what thou hast to say to us and what word God has given to you for us. Well, how commendable is that? And how encouraging that is. It is good when people are attracted to God's house because they want to know more about the Lord. That's what brings them to God's house. It's not so much to meet with other believers or to meet with their friends in God's house. It's not because it is the thing to do. They're used doing it. No. It ought to be that we go to the Lord's house. Why? Because we want to hear the word and to hear the word and about the Lord. That's why Jethro went to Moses. He wanted to know more about what the Lord had done for Israel. And we go to the Lord's house. We want to hear more about the Lord. That's what brings us here. That's what the attraction is, surely. Sadly, that's not the case in every place of worship. In some places, people go because they want to be entertained. They want to have their ears tickled. They want to feel good about themselves. Don't want to be disturbed or told about their sin. Or their need to live a holy life. Or their need for salvation. Don't want to know about the Lord. But as far as Jethro was concerned, that was the attraction. He wanted to know about the Lord. That's what he said. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, of Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done, we then read in verse 4, or verse 5, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came. When he heard, he came. As well as the attraction, that's what attracted him, we also have the anticipation. We have seen what drew Jethro to Moses at that time. He heard of all that God had done for Moses. Did he not then come with great anticipation, wanting to know more about the workings of God in and through Moses? He had heard some things about what God had done, but he comes to Moses to find out more. Is not the spirit in which we ought to go up to the Lord's house? You think of Jethro, and as he travels the miles to where he was to meet with Moses, and as he traveled those miles, was he not thinking about Moses telling him more about what the Lord had done? And he walked that road to Moses in great anticipation, wondering, what else am I going to hear from Moses about what the Lord had done? That's the spirit we ought to go to the Lord's house. We ought to go up to the Lord's house in the spirit of anticipation, leaving home and going to God's house, wondering, what am I going to hear today about the Lord? What am I going to learn today from God's word? What am I going to be told today about the Lord Jesus Christ? What am I going to learn today about Christ that I didn't know before? We go to the Lord's house, the spirit of anticipation. What am I going to hear today? More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every life, making each faithful saying my more. More about Jesus. Tell me more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness. See more of his love who died for me. That's the attitude we ought to have when we go up to the Lord's house. Preacher, tell me more about Christ. I want to know more. I want to learn more from the Word. I want to see and hear what God has to say to me. We come to the Lord's house in anticipation. And that's also the attraction. As well as the promptings, we notice the people. So in going to meet with Moses and to hear about the Lord, Jethro did not go to Moses alone. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her away, and her two sons. So there's Jethro, and he's going up to meet with Moses. But as I said, he doesn't go alone. He brings three people with him. Zipporah and the two sons of Moses. This would teach us. This would teach us a very good lesson. That when we go up to hear the word of the Lord and to hear more about what the Lord has done, we ought to do our best to bring somebody with us. Moses brought three, or Jethro brought three people with him. Yes, I know one of them was the wife of Moses and his two sons, but nevertheless, he brought them with him because he was going to hear about the Lord. That's why he was going to Moses. He was going to hear about the Lord. It's interesting, if you turn over to Numbers chapter 10, and there in Numbers chapter 10, and verse 29, Moses said unto Hobab, now there's no contradiction in the scriptures, we know that, Moses said unto Hobab the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. Hobab was just another name for Jethro. Hobab, or Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, Moses said unto him, said unto Jethro, or said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying on to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Then Moses said to Jethro, or to Hobab, come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. So now here is Moses, and he's inviting Jethro or Hobab to go with him. And he says to Jethro or to Hobab, come thou with us and we will do thee good. That was a good invitation. That's an invitation that we can extend to others when we go up to the house of the Lord. Come thou with us and we will do thee good. And we pointed out, who did Moses invite? He invited family, his father-in-law. Who did Jethro bring with him to Moses to hear about the word? He brought family. And wouldn't that be a good idea? When we go up to the house of the Lord to invite someone to come to the Lord's house with us and to say unto them, come thou with us, we will do thee good. Wouldn't it be good to bring some family member with us? Good way to start inviting people to the Lord's house to hear the word. That's it, to hear the word. We want to get them under the sound of the word of God. You have the promptings and you have the people. Next we have the place. It certainly wasn't a very attractive place. that Jethro went to meet with Moses. We read in verse 5, "And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his two sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness." It wasn't really a great meeting place, was it? In the wilderness. That's where they were to meet. They weren't going to be reunited with Moses in a beautiful building, but in a wilderness. But Jethro obviously wasn't concerned about the location. He was more concerned about what he would learn from the lips of Moses about the Lord. That's what concerned Jethro. He could easily have said, "I'm not going to make my journey there and go and meet Moses in the wilderness." But such was his desire to learn more about the Lord. He didn't care where the meeting would take place. He was going to learn about the Lord. That's why he was going to meet with Moses. Because he had heard a lot about what God had done, and he went to Moses to learn more. Just thinking as we were over in Ulster there and driving around some of our churches, I remembered the first meeting places of some of those churches. Even where I'd ministered for 13 and a half years in Newton Abbey, the church purchased a piece of ground to put up the new building. We had a bit of ground. We wanted to put something on it that we could meet in the meantime. And there was a man in the church. His father had a farmyard. And he says, "There's an old shed out there in the farmyard. He says, you can have it." Well, we went out this day, and it was sheets of corrugated iron, and the grass had grown all over it, and there was this pile of corrugated iron sheets, and we pulled them all out of the long grass, cleaned them up a bit, brought them to the piece of property, the ground that we had purchased, and we erected this. It was really just a tin shed. But it was God's house to us. It was the place where we could preach the word, and people came to that tin shed. They came to worship God, and they came to hear about the Lord. They weren't concerned about the building, whether it was nice looking or not. They'd come to hear the word. Again, unfortunately, that's not always the case. People will not go to a humble building. People will not want to go and to be seen in a tin shed. The Reverend McCrae, in his first church, they put up a similar building, and it was called by the people in the town the chicken coop. That's what they thought of this place of work. It was only a chicken coop. We went through a town when we were home there, and it just brought to mind the first meeting that was held in Ballinahinch was a house in a row of houses. I remember going there to preach. You climbed up the stairs to the room upstairs, and that was the church, that was the meeting place. It was one building in a row of houses. Wasn't very good, beautiful to look at. But people gathered there to hear the word. That's why they went. They weren't concerned about what the building looked like. It was what they were going to hear inside the building. Doesn't matter about the place. It's what I've been taught there. That's what matters. What matters where? On earth we dwell, on mountain top or in the dale, in cottage or in mansion fair, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. You think of the Scottish Covenanters. Where did they meet? They met on the hillsides of the hills of Scotland. That's where they worshipped, in the open air. And they gathered around and had their prayer meetings, and a brother would preach, and that's where they worshipped, under the open canopy of heaven. Why did they go there? Because they were going to fellowship and they were going to hear about the Lord. Why did Jethro go and meet with Moses in the wilderness? Because he was going to hear about the Lord. We press on. We have considered Moses and the coming of Jethro. We notice also Moses and his conversation with Jethro. It would appear that Jethro had sent messengers ahead of him to inform Moses that he was coming. We gather that from the verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, "And he said unto Moses, I am thy father-in-law, Jethro, and am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her." And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. So he'd obviously been told that Jethro was coming, because then Moses went out to meet him. Here you have, first of all, the reunion. Upon learning that Jethro, his wife and children were coming, Moses went out to meet them. The last time that Jethro saw Moses, he was but a humble shepherd. That's what the Lord called Moses from. Remember that day that we read about at the burning bush? He was minding the sheep of his father-in-law. That was the last time Jethro saw Moses. He was a humble shepherd. But now he comes to meet him. He's no longer a humble shepherd. He's now Moses, the head of the nation. God has lifted him up. He's now the head of the nation. He's the leader of Israel. He's the leader of 2 million people. But Moses didn't wait for Jethro to come to him and to meet with him in the tent. No. Moses was humble enough to go out and meet him, to meet Jethro. This great elevation in position did not, as it were, puff him up or make him haughty or make him proud or arrogant. He was still the humble Moses. He went out to meet Jethro. He still was humble and showed good manners and humility. So the Christian ought always to display good manners. Something that Paul spoke about. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33. Paul says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." He wanted the believers at Corinth to have good manners. But he says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners, destroy good manners." Interestingly enough, that word manners, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." That word manners is a word which means habits. And so, good manners is to be the habit of the Christian. It's not something that they, as it were, put on depending on what company they're in. The Christian is to have good manners no matter what company they're in. Moses had good manners. Moses was humble. Moses went out to meet Jethro, even though he was the leader of a great nation. Having good manners was the way of life for Moses. He had good habits, you could say. This shows just how sincere and genuine Moses was in his conduct and in his behavior. There was nothing put on. There was no show with Moses. He was what he was. He was a man with good manners. He was a man with good habits. As well as the reunion, you have the report. After asking about each other's welfare, we see that Moses then spoke about the Lord. You will notice that Moses wasted no time in speaking about the Lord. Our text, verse 8, and Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Do you notice something? Moses talked about nobody else but the Lord. He talked about the Lord. It was all about the Lord. It wasn't about himself. Moses didn't talk about himself. Moses didn't tell Jethro, this is what I did. This is what I accomplished. This is what I have done. No. He talked about the Lord and about what the Lord had done. That was his whole conversation. There once again, you see, the humility and the good manners of Moses. His good manners, hasn't he? He didn't try and exalt self. He wasn't a Diotrephes. You've read about Diotrephes. 3 John and verse 9. Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them. Loveth to have the preeminence among them, among others. He wanted others to look up to him. He didn't have very good manners. 3 John verse 9. Instead, Moses was more interested not in exalting self, but in exalting the Lord. He told Jethro all that the Lord had done for him and for Israel. Never mentioned himself. He believed as Paul believed. Colossians 1 verse 18, regarding the Lord, that in all things he might have the preeminence. It would be good to be in the company of Moses. You'd want to be in the company of a man like Moses, who talked about nobody else but the Lord. You ever been in somebody's presence and they've talked about themselves incessantly, and you've come away and you said, boy, that character's a bit of a blow. Not Moses. Moses had good manners. Moses exalted the Lord. We've said many times in this study that Moses was a most Christ-like individual. You think of the Lord Jesus and his humility and his good manners. What did the Lord say? I am meek and lowly of heart. That's who Christ is. That's like Moses. And Moses is like the Lord. So let us all strive to be like our dear Savior. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Moses humbled himself, and God exalted him. Remember what we read and learned a few weeks ago? God told Moses that he would make him a god in the eyes of Pharaoh, small g. Nevertheless, Jehovah said to Moses, that's what I will make you in the eyes of Pharaoh. I'll make you a god. He was going to exalt him, this humble man. As well as the reunion and the report, you have the rejoicing. What Jethro was told about the God of Israel obviously thrilled his heart. Look there at verse 9 of Exodus 18. Moses has told Jethro all that the Lord had done. And then we read in verse 9, and Jethro rejoiced. Rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. There's the rejoicing. We see what Jethro rejoiced over. If you look carefully, you'll find he rejoiced over three things. First of all, he rejoiced over the goodness of God. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel. He rejoiced in the goodness of God. Perhaps we don't rejoice in the goodness of God enough. The psalmist David said, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Psalm 32 and verse 11. Be glad and rejoice in the Lord. Oh, that the Lord would make us more conscious and more aware of his goodness to us. Don't we take the Lord's goodness so much for granted betimes? Let's pray the Lord will make us more aware of his goodness to us. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And again, we look at the words of David, the psalmist. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good. There you have it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We ought to be a thankful people. We ought to be a joyous people. Because of the goodness of the Lord. Jethro rejoiced over the goodness of God. He also rejoiced over the grace of God. Look at the grace of God here in these verses. Moses has told Jethro, verse 8, told Jethro, his father-in-law, all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. Verse 9. whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. Verse 10. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you. Delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptian. Four times. He spoke about deliverance. We see that Jethro spoke about the deliverance three times and Moses once. And when we talk about deliverance, surely we automatically think about grace. The grace of God. We have been delivered. All who are saved have been delivered. We've been saved. How were we saved? How were we delivered? By the grace of God. By grace are you saved? Through faith. And here, in the grace of God and by the grace of God, Israel was delivered. The people were delivered out of the hand of Pharaoh, brought out of the house of bondage. And the day that you and I were saved, we were brought out of the house of bondage. We were delivered out of the hand of the devil. We were plucked as a brand from the burning. And that's a very good reason for us to rejoice. To rejoice that the devil has been defeated. Our souls have been saved. And we have been rescued. Delivered from going down into the pit. Delivered by the grace of God. And I tell you something else. When you hear of somebody else getting saved, we ought to rejoice. If we hear of some man or some woman in a meeting somewhere and they got saved and they gave their heart to the Lord, we ought to rejoice. And thank God another soul has been saved. Jethro rejoiced that 2 million Israelites were delivered out of the house of bondage by the grace of God. The Lord told his disciples that they should rejoice. And what? The Lord told his disciples to rejoice because your names are written in heaven. They were rejoicing because demons and devils were subject unto them. The Lord said, no. You rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's the most important thing of all. So when a new name is written down in glory, we ought to rejoice. And praise the Lord. As well as his rejoicing in the goodness of God, in the grace of God, he also rejoiced over the greatness of God. Because look at what he said in the verse 11. He says, Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. Jethro rejoiced in the greatness of God, for he says, Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. And we can say Amen to those words. Just as the psalmist said, For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Psalm 86 and verse 10. Thou art great and doest wondrous things, for thou art God alone. That's the God we worship. We ought to thank the Lord today that we're not meeting in some place and bowing down to dumb idols. We're worshipping the living God. God himself has said, Isaiah 44, verse 88, is there a God beside me? This is Jehovah speaking. And Jehovah says, is there a God beside me? There is no God. I know not any. And think of it. God in his grace and in his mercy brought us into contact with the gospel, and God in his grace and mercy saved us, and here we are this Sabbath morning worshipping the living God. The one and only true God. We could have been anywhere today. We could be in some old dead apostate church today. We could be in a chapel today, bowing down before an idol. We could have, but for the grace of God. Instead, we're here today in the Lord's house, worshipping the one and only true God. We're a blessed and a privileged people, and Jethro rejoiced. And we ought to rejoice. Rejoice in the goodness of God, in the grace of God, in the greatness of God. Let us be a rejoicing people. And praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. Very quickly and finally, we have considered Jethro, or Moses and the coming of Jethro, Moses and the conversation with Jethro. We come now to Moses and the conduct of Jethro. What did he do? Once he heard about what God had done, he rejoiced. And then we read in verse 12, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrificed for God, and Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. There you see, first of all, his action. His action. He rejoiced, yes. But we see here his action. He worshipped God. We're told Moses' father-in-law took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. In other words, he worshipped God. That's what he did. He worshipped the Lord God of heaven because of what the Lord had done for Moses and what the Lord had done for Israel. He worshipped God, beholding God's goodness, beholding God's grace, beholding God's greatness. And ought those things not to bring us to our knees and bring us down at the feet of the Lord to worship him because of his goodness, because of his grace, and because of his greatness. Not why we're here. Because he's good. Because he's gracious. Because he's great. That's why we worship. The world ignores God. But we will reverently worship him. The world curses God, but we will reverently worship him. The world hates God, but we will reverently worship him. The world rejects God, but we will reverently worship him. Because of his goodness, his grace, and his greatness. There's none like him. You have his action, then you have the assembly. For we read there in the verse 12, whenever Jethro took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, we're told he was joined by Aaron, for Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses, father-in-law, before God. What a blessed time of fellowship that must have been. But isn't it interesting that they came together and they worshipped together and they fellowshipped together around this sacrifice and this burnt offering that would speak to us of Christ. He's our sacrifice. He's our burnt offering. Isn't He the basis of our worship today? The finished work of Christ. We find acceptance with our God through the finished work of Christ, through the shed blood. That's how we have acceptance with the God who is good, the God who is gracious, the God who is great. It's only through Christ. And we'll remember that this morning when we come to the table. It's upon the basis of the finished work of Christ that we worship God and our worship is accepted. And as we come to the table today, may we do so with thanksgiving for all the Lord had done for me. I never will cease to praise Him. That was quite a family reunion. And when Aaron and Moses and Jethro and the elders of Israel all got together, they were all members of the same family. And all who were saved were members of the same family. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O loving eternal Father, we bless Thee afresh today. We praise Thee for Thy goodness. We praise Thee for Thy grace. And we praise Thee and rejoice in Thy greatness. Thou art God alone, alone. And here we are, out of the teeming millions in the world today, Thy Lord, according to Thy goodness and grace, has brought us to worship Thee, the one, true, only, great God. Lord, we thank Thee for that today. We ask Thee, Lord, that Thou will be with us as we gather around the table to remember what the Lord has done for us. And, O Lord, for any who are unable to stay, may Thy blessing go with them and keep Thy hand upon them and upon us. For we ask all things in the Saviour's holy and precious name. Amen.